The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are ready to roll here on a Tuesday. Somehow, I'm still not sure how we did it. We survived yesterday. It was not easy, and most of it was my fault, so I'm going to take a mulligan and start over like this is the beginning of a new week. Great to have you with us. A number of really cool guests later on. More of your phone calls. Let's start in Gainesville. Why not? Gators find hope and possibly a new QB in Anthony Richardson. And we'll talk to Buddy Martin about that in just a minute. So the numbers don't lie, do they? They don't really lie. The QBR is fantastic. The only problem is Richardson was involved in a really ugly loss, but that's not going to stop him. We'll find out the latest, even though the Gators have a week off before the Dogs head their way. It's the famous third Saturday in October. Something tells me we just passed the third Saturday in October. But don't let that affect you when we talk about one of the most storied rivalries in college football. I wrote that as a student reporter. I wrote it as an adult. I'm not writing it anymore because I'm not sure this rivalry has lived up to expectations. If you went on a trip in 2007 and just returned, you haven't missed anything as a Tennessee fan against Alabama. It has been bloody. And I mean a disaster. Just look at these numbers. 38-12, the average score, 14 straight wins. The yardage, just time leading, 680 minutes to 17 minutes. Jeez. That's not good, by the way.
What are you trying to say?
Josh Heupel is the sixth different Tennessee coach to face Nick Saban at Alabama. Sixth different Tennessee coach. Meanwhile, down in the loveliest village on the plains, the offense seems to be working right now. I think a lot of people are buying into Brian Harsin, and for good reason. At this moment, and I say at this moment, things are going very, very well. Wins in Baton Rouge, win in Fayetteville. Caution, though, some big games ahead. And Dabo Swinney, always count on him for a cornball one-liner that he probably wrote this morning eating his Frosted Flakes. Asked about the LSU job, his answer, Clemson is the only Death Valley I'm concerned about. I would be concerned about it, Dabo, after watching your game the other night. Can you go out and buy an offense at the dollar store? Because they'll be happy to sell you one, which is about what your offense is worth. How about Mike Oresko? We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He didn't like everybody poaching leagues. He's going out to reshape his league. Have you seen some of the names being mentioned? Here's Pete Thamel. The American is talking to FAU Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, and UAB. Lastly, Washington State, where Mike Leach once roamed the sidelines. Nick Rolovich and four assistants fired. Why? They would not get vaccinated. Why would they get fired over that? Because there are several coaches at a theater near you who have not been vaccinated. We know that. The reason, it's a state law in Washington. And your reaction is welcome at 855-242-7285. Who's on the show today? Buddy Martin, I mentioned him. Johnny Harris, new coach at Auburn. Matt Stinchcomb, always a great segment on our Tuesday afternoon. A couple other basketball coaches, Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates, as we get ready for the college basketball season. Did you know the NBA starts tonight? How many leagues, how many different sports are being played right now? Got the NBA, the NHL, got Major League Baseball this afternoon and this evening. Got the NFL. The WNBA just wrapped up.
WWE.
Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, wrestling.
Oh, I left. Major League Soccer.
Yes.
I'm watching every, I do not do anything but watch sports. I wake up and I go to bed glued to my app. Let's get to the phones at 855-242-7285. And Richard is up next in Madison, Mississippi. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing fine, Paul. Thank you. Just a couple of quick comments. First, I really enjoy your show. I drive up and down the road, driving a big truck, and I like the break from all the stuff that we have to listen to daily.
Thank you.
On your program. So thank you. Just a quick comment about the Coach O deal. There's one, everybody was calling in, seemed like attacking you and other journalists yesterday, and I don't agree with that. What concerns me is the comment that bothered me is that they say if Coach O had a winning record, none of this stuff would matter. And that is just, that is a very concerning statement. Would you want a coach, now that this stuff has come to light with Coach O, would you want a guy like that recruiting your son to play football for you? I think it's a good thing that it came to light, and I think it's unfortunate that we think of him as somebody better than he is, just because of the record.
Yeah, I don't think I did a very good job, Richard, trying to explain the intent of what you're talking about there. And I know some people, and maybe rightfully so, feel like we were picking on Coach O, but what I should have said yesterday is that some of this salacious stuff out there that you're referring to, that we were referring to, it's not just innuendo and rumor. These are things that I believe very strongly, based on the people with whom I have spoken, were presented to Coach O and his attorneys in addition to their dissatisfaction with his winning record. They added, these are issues that we have with you. And that is why I think he quickly, and I mean quickly, agreed to the $16.9 million buyout. So they would not go forward with any type of action or anything else. Now, did some of this stuff leak out? Yes. Will the school ever admit to it? Probably not. I found the schools, wrapping their arm when Scott Woodward and Coach O, talked about how close of friends they were and how much they respected. I mean, I found that to be a dog and pony show, but that's part of life. I mean, we all do that. We all act like we like people that we really don't, just to get along in the workplace.
Well put, Paul. Thanks for your time.
I wasn't talking about you, by the way. Thank you. Randy, please.
Yes.
One time, you know who I was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. John is in Kentucky. Hello, John.
Hey, John. Hey, hey, Paul. How you doing, man? Long-time listener. Called in a couple of times. Called in last week. And some things I've been watching with this Ogeron situation and some things that probably need to be discussed and thought about. It's odd for a college like LSU that's got the storied history that they do. They try to fire a coach mid-season and then say, well, he's going to finish the season out.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to your call there. I think I By the way, let me make sure people understand me when I was talking about Rolovich. The state does not require everyone be vaccinated. I think I said that. The state requires that state employees be vaccinated. And, of course, Rolovich worked for the state, a state school. I'm not sure I completely understood where you were going there, but we'll try to get you back on the air in a minute. How about that? Andre is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Andre.
Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach. I was going to call back yesterday. The guy called in attacking you and the news media. If you think about this, Coach, you're just the messenger delivering the message. But instead of attacking the message, they want to attack the messenger. There's a reason why when these dictators take over countries, the first people they go after are the print, the news media. If it wasn't for the media, we wouldn't know what was really going on the second time we went into Iraq. If it wasn't for the media, we wouldn't have known about Watergate, or we wouldn't have known what was really going on in Vietnam. So, I'm an LSU man, and I like Coach I'm calling you Coach Feinbaum.
Coach Ogeron.
I like Coach Ogeron. But, listen, this is how this thing is played. Hey, if my job fired me and give me almost $17 million, I tell them to give me the pink slip today. But, sometimes power corrupts, but I don't understand people attacking you do some of these folks understand that in the past you've gotten hate mail from Alabama fans? I guess people don't understand that. You just tell it like you see.
Well, no, there was a time when I had security because I was getting death threats from Alabama fans. So, yeah.
But right,
the point being that there are a lot of reasons this happened. And, you know, Coach O could have fought it. He chose not to. You know, I think he ought to be very happy that he's walking out of here with his head high, considering everything.
Coach, you know, listen, the SEC is a monster. And you got two monsters on their way in. LSU was starting to slip. Listen, with Oklahoma and Texas coming in, they couldn't afford to wait. They had to do it. We got to get somebody young, energetic, and a great recruiter. Coach O is a great recruiter. But we're slipping on the offensive line, the defensive line, and the linebackers. So, hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
Thank you, Andre. Do appreciate it, and appreciate you bringing up Lord Acton's great quote. We are going to be back. Buddy Martin joining us in a minute. What's going on in Gainesville? We'll talk to a man who's chronicled the Gators for just a few years. He joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. We are going to continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And also Buddy Martin will be joining us momentarily, a couple of minutes. When's Buddy joining us? Now or later? 3:30. I'm trying to rush the guy onto the show. I cannot wait what he says about the Florida situation, but he will be with us shortly. You can tell I looked at the schedule closely today. Christopher is up next.
Paul, it should be very concerning that we've got Washington State's football coach just giving up millions and millions of dollars because he chose not to take the vaccine. And his religious exemptions were denied. You know, why are these things happening? Why are these guys not honoring our religious exemption? And is it possible that he's not wanting to take the vaccine because 16,000 people have now dropped dead, reported on the CDC's website and theirs?
Christopher, can you explain to me the religious exemption and what he was asking for? Because I didn't understand it.
Again, I can't speak for another man. I just know that we have the First Amendment right of religion, and our government has to allow for medical and religious exemptions. And he was denied that because why? I don't know. You'd have to ask him that.
Okay.
But Paul, you understand that 1976, when the swine flu vaccine had killed less than 100 people, they pulled it off the market. They pulled it off the market. 16,000 people have dropped dead after taking this vaccine, and nobody's talking about it.
How many people have dropped dead?
From the CDC and Bayer's website today, you can go and look. 16,000 people have dropped dead.
Okay. How many people? So 16,000 have dropped dead, according to your information. How many people's lives have been saved by taking it?
I don't know of one. Do you know somebody's life has been saved from taking the vaccine, Paul? Where's that proof? Show me some evidence that somebody's life has been saved.
Christopher, I'm just a talk show host. I'm not an expert like you are. So I just made a point rhetorically, of course, that according to epidemiologists and immunologists, many lives are being saved by taking the vaccine. Now, you know, literally, not according to your verbiage, but ultimately, I think that would bear out, but I'm not here to debate. I just looked down. I took a phone call, and the next thing you know, I was talking to Anthony Fauci here.
Now, I'm not Anthony Fauci, but you know, we do have billboards up in Texas and coming up in Alabama that say vaccines kill. And the cool one we just put up yesterday, Paul, you're like this. It says, "Let's go, Brandon." Those just went up in Texas last night, brother.
Huh. Who is Brandon?
Please, Paul, tell me. You know who Brandon is, right?
Christopher, are we playing a game here, or would you like to tell me?
You don't know who Brandon is, Paul? Oh, my goodness. You don't know what happened in Talladega? This is how the narrative, the media steers. They won't tell you the truth. When Brandon won the race in Talladega...
Are you familiar with Brandon, Randy?
No.
The media will not tell you the truth.
They won't.
I don't know. We lost the call. Maybe if he'd spend more time on his Verizon wireless bill and less time on billboards in Texas, he might have been able to finish that call. Let's check in with Jarvis next. Hello, Jarvis.
Hey, how you doing there, Paul? It's good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Hey, look, that last caller, I don't know, man. You know, apparently he doesn't believe in the science. That's okay. That's everybody's right, I guess. But what a doofus. I'm sorry. Hey, but my main point of calling you is not about that. You know, it's about Coach O, okay? And the things you said yesterday. You know, I'm going to back you up. Absolutely, 100%. I'm an LSU fan. And here's why. It's all about branding, Paul. Branding. You know, welcome to corporate America. Don't you agree?
Well, yes, Jarvis. When you know, there are a lot of reasons why coaches make so much money. When you make $9 million a year, you are the face of a program. Yeah, sure, your job is to coach and to win, but it's also to represent. And I think the school sat down with Coach O and they discussed what's on the field and what's off the field. And I think it was what's off the field that concerned Coach O the most, and that's why he decided to surrender and take the money.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, and I don't blame them. You know, like the caller before.
If somebody was, think about this, Jarvis. If somebody sat down with you and said, "Listen, you can either accept our offer, or we can assure. I can assure you, a lot of things are going to come out that will be deleterious to your reputation and hurtful." And, you know, and here, I mean, I've sat in on these conversations before in mediation and arbitration, and they're not pleasant. And it's a battle of wills. And you know, for all of Coach O's bluster, he waved the white flag because I don't think he wanted to deal with that.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I mean, that would be overwhelming, you know, But hey, back on that vaccine thing, one thing I'd like to say, you know, I served in the United States Marine Corps, and I never had a choice for what vaccines they were going to shoot up me and to send me to far-off countries and things like that. I mean, I think I could be pumped up on who knows what. But the bottom line is I never have passed, and I don't know anybody who passed away from a vaccine.
Well, listen, Jarvis, we are now close to 2 years into this conversation. And you know, that guy's welcome to do whatever he wants. I mean, I try to be nice to him. I genuinely feel sorry for him. I know him, by the way. I don't want anybody to think that I've met him. He was on our program many, many years ago when he was trying to push some other device. It was a deer spray that was supposed to. I kid you not. I don't even remember what it did for you, but it was proven to be infallible. Fallible, I should say. Let's talk to Reggie in Gainesville, Florida.
Paul.
Hey, Reggie.
You at it again, ain't you?
Well, what am I doing now?
Well, yesterday I said you was trying to get Paul. You gonna try and get Dan Mullen fired, and you begging up on him today again.
What have I done to Dan Mullen?
You gonna have you started out the show with him. You don't never let him talk.
I do not want to see Dan Mullen fired. Let me go on the record.
You on the record?
I'm on the record. I like Dan Mullen.
I don't believe that for nothing.
I do. I think he's a really good coach. He needs a new defensive coordinator, but he's a really good coach.
Do you know who my daddy is?
What's that?
You know who my daddy is?
I don't know who your daddy is, Reggie.
His name is Roy T.
Roy T?
Roy T. Mercer. How big a boy are you, Paul?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious how big I am. I mean, I'm not. You want me to stand up? You want to look me over?
Please.
What do you need from me? You need my weight?
I just want to see if I had to skin you up. You have a good one.
Now,
it's a rough day, man.
Did this guy just threaten? Did this guy just threaten to skin me up?
Yep.
Man, I don't know where when this show has gone off the rails to this extent, but if I'm not back, or if I'm back and I'm skinned up, you're going to know who did it. We are coming right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, we've had an absolutely, I can't say the word, bat crazy day here on the show. We thought we would calm the waters down a little bit, bring by an old friend and mentor, Buddy Martin, to bring some reason in rationality to the afternoon. Buddy, good to see you. How are you?
Paul, I ain't coming on the show with this Roy T. Mercer guy. I don't know about him. Excuse me. I don't want to be skinned up.
He's down in your state, buddy. I mean, that's not. Am I safe to ever come back there again?
You're always safe in my neighborhood, Paul. But the problem is, I just Google him and I can't figure out which one he is. He's a pawnbroker. He's about 9 different things he's got going on. So, yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but he certainly doesn't speak for the whole Gator Nation. But I want to say one thing right now, Paul. Okay, you got Mike Griffith's number? I could call him.
He will be here in 2 days, but I bet we could get a hold of him quickly if you need him.
Well, I want to apologize to him because I think he might have been close to what he's been saying. And looking at the situation as we have a good bit in the last 72 hours or so, there's some things in Gainesville, one right, as you might have heard about. And let's just stop right there and say, repeat after me, right, when I say this. Will you please, Paul? I like Dan Mullen. I don't want to see Dan Mullen get fired.
So, Buddy, what are you saying there? You're obviously saying a great deal by asking me to repeat that.
Well, because I want to make sure that people out there know that you have not been leading a charge to, unlike what your caller Reggie said, to get Mullen fired. Now, having said that, I do think it's time for changes, without question. And I do think that Dan Mullen bears some of this responsibility. And if you don't believe it, look at the numbers. Who would have thought, if I said to you last fall, before the last 3 games, that Dan Mullen would wind up being a 4-6 coach? That's unheard of. Now, you can dissect that and look at it different ways. and say, well, some unusual things happened last year. And I did that. Rationalize it. You had the opt-out bowl, you know, Cotton Bowl. You had the great game against Alabama last year where they played them better than anybody else. You had the shoe game, which was a freaky thing. And you say, okay, you can probably maybe explain that, Paul. But now you start thinking about, okay, 2021 is here, out of the box, two easy wins, terrific game against Alabama. This kind of was a game. This was a season maker almost. You think, okay, they're on their way. They're doing good. They got a young quarterback. And now things begin to change because you can't even get the snap out right at Kentucky. Look, Commonwealth and the Kroger Field is a beautiful little facility. I emphasize little, it's not the only stadium. But apparently the offensive lineman, and particularly the young center, wasn't able to deal with the noise levels that they put out at Kroger. Right? And, of course, we had those famous eight false starts. How can you have eight false starts? Well, sometimes when your center snapping the ball the wrong catches. So that was a game even then that was winnable. That was a winnable game that couldn't get the ball in the end zone at the end. I still think Mullen made a big mistake not going for it right before the half. And when they had three timeouts in 10 minutes, that was my – so I said so then. Now you go all the way back around and say, okay, now, easy win against Vanderbilt, 42-0, et cetera. And you go to Baton Rouge to play bad LSU football team. And guess what? LSU likes to run the football. Have you heard about that? 100 years ago, one of the most really embarrassing performances I've seen by a Gator defense, they got mauled, as Steve Spurrier said to me yesterday. I've never even heard of that. Back in, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, 287 yards. So that is what is hard to explain, because prior to that, you say they lost to two ranked teams. They're still in. They got Georgia coming up. Paul, I'm here to tell you, call Mike Griffin. I'm about ready to wave the white flag on Georgia.
Well, you know, what's interesting, buddy, is this, you know, the Georgia game's always important, but this year it's everything, because after that, and I know Florida State's at the end of the season, but this is really the last chance for Florida to exercise some of the demons, isn't it?
It's the season in one game. And I'd like to make a case for Anthony Richardson, and I've said this numerous times on the Billy Martin Show, which you might have heard of. Uh-huh. It's on the screen right there. That this is about young talent at quarterback as a freshman I have ever seen in over 50 years of covering football in Florida. And I think this kid is really special. Talking to the HBC yesterday, I said, how good could this guy be? He said, he could be a Heisman winner. He might be. But you also got to keep him there, and you got to start him. The question is now, will he start against the Bulldogs? And I don't know what's really so much a start is, and he has to become the quarterback. He has got the skill. I've heard all the excuses. Doesn't know the offense, but like I was talking to Shane Matthews, the former Gator quarterback who was on the Gator Radio Network about this, he says, I think it's overrated when you say he doesn't know the playbook, because the plays he runs, some are not in the playbook. He's a phenomenal talent. He showed you that with four, accounting for four touchdowns and running extremely well. And this guy is a major talent. And the sad part about it is, Emory Jones is a really good kid. Dan Mullen loves him to death, and he has paid his dues. Stayed extra time, watched film, waited his turn, and here he is. It's not that he's so bad. It's just that Richardson is just so much better. He's a major talent. They've got to get him in the game if they have any chance against Georgia. And I'm not sure they do, because they could get boat raced against the Bulldogs. This guy is the answer. He's got to be able to do his thing and run his leg, use his arm, and see what they got. But meanwhile, there's also the defense. And I would imagine that this kid Bowers for Georgia, he'll still be scoring touchdowns 4 days after the game. He's an amazing talent. He's bound to give Florida some problems. And Florida's defense, well, what do you do when somebody can run the ball for 287 yards on you, right up to your gut, the simplest play in the world, and running it over and over and over and over and dominating you, taking your lunch, shaking you upside down, get your lunch money. And this is a game that Florida just did not compete in on the defensive side.
Buddy, what else can you share? And I realize you're close friends with him, and I don't want to violate confidences, but can you give us any more of the impressions of the HBC?
Well, yeah, we talked a little off the record, and I said, what do you do? This actually is the interview I got tomorrow night on the show, which is on the record. What did you do when the team ran the ball against you and you couldn't stop them? And he said, we've had our times. He said, I'll tell you what my coach, G. Ellison, would do. Listen to this. Think about it. If somebody was beating you up the middle like that, this is 1960s football, so I get it, all right? He said he would put eight man, nine men on the line and goal line defense at midfield. He had to. And I'm saying, if you're going to do that, then do it. You can't have those people running over you like that. I mean, it was the simplest play in the world. Why can't Todd Grantham adjust? He is a really kind of a defensive mastermind. The problem is I think he's got it all in his head. He's not getting it translated to the field. And I think this is not Spurrier talking to me. I don't think the players quite know what to do. And what I've said in an interview, I will do what my coaches tell me to do. I don't know what to do because what we're doing obviously is not working. So there's something lost there. Todd Grantham is likely not going to come back. This is my – I don't know anything. I just know his contract is up, and I've been defending him. I think sometimes his defenses are brilliant. His blitzes come from, I like to say, look out for Grantham because he may blitz you from the peanut gallery. I mean, his blitzes come from everywhere, and they come when you don't expect them. Well, there wasn't much to be guessing about with LSU. They had 600 pounds of beef coming at you on the front and the kid running the ball every play, and you knew what was coming. You couldn't stop him, and he ran over and over and over. So I don't know what's going on with Todd, but I don't see him having a long-term future at Florida. And that's one of the changes that has to be made. The other has to be they've got to play Richardson more and get him in the game.
Great stuff from Buddy Martin. Buddy, before you go, I'm curious your thoughts on a couple of other developments in the SEC, namely the departure of Ed Orgeron at LSU.
Well, I saw your yesterday and the writer who did it, excuse me if I remember his name, but wasn't
Brody Miller.
Yeah, Brody Miller, very well done. And it was a really hard piece to write because you had to bring in things off the field, but you don't always know how to handle those, you know, in the personal level. Was anything egregious? But there, the conduct of coaches now is up for grabs. I mean, you look at what happened to John Gruden. Look at what happened to Urban Meyer. You can't be out dating women, if this is alleged in the piece, that are a third year age in a program like LSU. And, you know, that was all – that on top of winning is bad. And so LSU, what a great job for somebody. I don't have any idea. I cannot see Jimbo Fisher. I believe him. I don't see it anyway. Why would he – the world with Texas A&M. He's got to go. I have no idea. Who will it be? I don't know. But I know there's a lot of talk out there about different candidates, and I'm looking to your show to be able to fill me in. So that was predictable. It was coming, and I guess it was handled as well as it could be handled, as you said. They were posturing. Basically, they were, you know, trying to make nice, so they're going. And so they'll get a great coach because they got a program. But, Paul, I've got a real problem, if this is what you're asking about, with your alma mater.
Let's hear it.
That was a disgraceful performance by Tennessee fans. And, you know, one of the great venues of college football. Neyland Stadium at 900,000 people. You know, and I get it. They didn't like the call. And it was dubious. And I love fans. I ought to have a right to express themselves. But you can't do what they did. And they were just an inch away from having a full riot. I kept thinking after waiting for 20 minutes for 54 seconds to be played there, and the officials couldn't control that game. There was no security. It could have stopped 100,000 people. They could have stormed that field. And think about this. What if Tennessee had pulled it out? Then what the riot would have been at the end? They would have been on the field. Now, you made a comment the other day, and I agree. There's sometimes when you just pay the fine. And A&M, listen, they waited a long time, but a great moment, fine. They paid their money. To me, that was a $1 million fine at Tennessee. That was just an awful display. It was black eye for not just the SEC, but all of college football. And I know the SEC, and I'm not saying there's anything funky about this, is the product ESPN, X and brands, whatever. But this needs to be revisited. This was awful. This is like insurrection in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. It was that close to it. You cannot have that. They're going to put in some controls, and it can't be done with armed guards. So what do you do the next time this happens? I fear a player. I mean, a golf ball, a mustard bottle. The thing I can say about this, Paul, is that I found out one thing. I'm glad I know now. Is that they do have bottled water in Tennessee, and it's not true that they get all of their water out of the well and put it in.
Buddy Martin, thanks so much, buddy. Great to have you on. Really appreciate it. Buddy joining us from Florida. Buddy Martin, if I heard him correctly, just compared what happened in Knoxville to the insurrection on January 6th in Washington. We'll take a break. More after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get back to the calls, and Pat is up next in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much. Listen, I hope you give some thought to what Buddy Martin had to say about Tennessee Saturday night, but that's not why I'm calling. What do you think the shelf life of Dan Mullen is right now? And in about a fortnight, he'll have four losses. Albeit two of the losses to two different number one teams, football teams. What do you think?
Well, I think he's got some issues, and I think it really depends now on how he deals with those. And I think Buddy portended that Todd Grantham won't be around next year, which I think will satisfy a number of fans. But ultimately, how does he manage next year? Because, back-to-back four-loss seasons is going to be very painful. And that's not what the Gator standards are. And as we were talking, I was just curious because I try not to look too far ahead. But next season, I'm going through the schedule. He has Utah at home, Kentucky at home, South Florida and Tennessee. So the schedule really favors him early on. He's got a bunch of home. I mean, he's got everybody. I mean, he has Tennessee on the road. So he's got Utah, Kentucky, South Florida, then at Tennessee, Eastern Washington, Missouri, LSU at home. So the schedule really isn't bad. Then Georgia and Jacksonville at Texas A&M, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Florida State. So that is not a schedule that I see him struggling with. That's the only good news.
Yes, that is good news. Listen, every time I take a shine to a Florida head ball coach, they run him off. I'm sorry to have to say that, but this is not Florida football, and it hasn't been since Urban Meyer. And before Urban Meyer, it wasn't Florida football until you go back to the head ball coach. I mean, When you're explaining how a Florida head football coach can stay there because it's a cupcake season, that's not Florida.
Yeah, no, Pat, I agree with you. And ultimately, he's going to have to turn it around. I think he's still well liked. I think AR-15 gives fans hope, which is a big part of a coach's future. And Dan Mullen is popular, but he can't have another season like this. We are heading to a break. Much more to come right after this.